Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast Initiating Startup Sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. Hello, everybody. I would like to welcome you, and especially you to the program today. And first up on the podcast docket, we have a story about clowns. A Clown's Life Matters, a peace walk in Arizona, was canceled following threats and widespread condemnation from professional clowns. They insist the event was meant to be a positive thing, but critics disagree. There is a picture here. This is the way his makeup is done. It is not a clown that you would invite to Timmy's 8th birthday party. He is standing in front of a Halloween type display with pumpkins, a mummy, a ghost coming out of a window, and he looks like a clown that Stephen King has developed. It probably is his brother, but he is holding a Clown Lives Matter sign. An Arizona woman, organized a Clown Lives Matter peace walk to show clowns are not psycho killers. Well, in the picture, this clown looks like he could be a psycho killer, according to an event flyer. The October 15th event in Tucson ultimately was canceled because of backlash. With the numerous death threats and harassment, it's sad to say we have canceled what was supposed to be a fun, peaceful walk. Well, if you're all the clowns are dressed like that, they might, I don't know, kids might go running out into the street screaming.
Why so serious?
Our organizer, Nikki Sin, wrote on Facebook, we apologize to everyone who was excited to go and have a good night of fun. The goal of the family-friendly walk was to take something that has been made scary and bring it back to something fun and silly. Well, in the photo I looked at, it did not look fun and silly. It looked like a clown that might be peeking from a sewage drain thing on your street. She said also hoping to bring awareness to one of the oldest professions.
Ooh.
Yeah, Stephen King has not promoted the the fun, silly, and birthday performer clown with his movies. And I read where he kind of had a attitude towards the clown professions that complained to him about it, that they were losing work. Many of the event's critics lambasted it for trivializing the Black Lives Matter movement. Reverend Reginald Walton, the chairman of Black Lives Matter Phoenix, told ABC that he was glad the event had been canceled, as it's insensitive to the serious problems we are facing in this country with police brutality. Jordan Jones, a professional clown actor at Screamland Farms in Maryland, who founded the movement Clown Lives Matter last month, insists that the movement was meant to be a positive thing. Jones, who also as Snuggles, says he's seen his own share of fear-related backlash. Isn't Snuggles fabric softener? Isn't their deal a little teddy bear or something like that instead of a clown? After participating in his local annual Halloween parade for 10 years, he says the organizing committee denied his application this year. They banned me and all clowns. Yeah, you don't see clowns in parades much anymore. If you do, they have a very happy face and stuff like that. Here in the Midwest, we don't see a lot of clowns anymore. We do have a big celebration called Turkey Day, and I may have only seen like one clown, and everybody's throwing out candy for the kids. But who knows if it's going to be on for this year because of Corona. And they were concerned for safety. A lot of people were upset about that. He attended the parade but did not dress as a clown. Nevertheless, Jones considered his Clown Lives Matter movement a success. He says his message went viral, reaching as far away as Australia and several media outlets, including Time Magazine and an England-based university student newspaper interviewed him. He was also featured in a video by a popular YouTuber. A lot of people took my message as something serious, he says. Others disagree. We really are hoping that people understand the message is not to be taken lightly or usurped, because Black Lives Matter is a serious, serious issue, Reverend Walton said. And also, I do have a thing about gorillas. Oh, no. Actually, before that, I do have another clown story, may not help the cause of my previous clown. A clown with bladed gloves murders man and escapes on a scooter, cops say. It all went down in the parking lot of a Torchy's Tacos in Denver. Maybe the clown got a bad taco. Shooting off fireballs after eating the taco. A 29-year-old man was slashed to death in the parking lot of Torchy's Tacos in downtown Denver. Ooh, man. I was in Denver a couple of years ago. Luckily, I went to a Qdoba's little Mexican fast food place in Glendale, down from the Hilton Place Hotel near Highway 25, which is fun to drive when you don't know which lane you should be in to get to Colorado Boulevard. But he did this at 12:39 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Witnesses referred to the suspect as a man in white, clown-type makeup with black streaks on his face, according to a report by the Denver police. The assailant was allegedly sporting a glove with blades on the end of each finger. Oh, we're going clown Freddy Krueger look, I guess. They estimated the blades to be 2 or 3 inches long. Following the incident, the clown-faced man was seen hopping aboard a scooter and riding away into the night. Shortly thereafter, someone who fit the attacker's description was spotted on a high activity location observation halo camera a few blocks away at a Denver public school, throwing what looked to be a knife in the bushes. This was later confirmed when police discovered that knife covered in blood. Sometime later, a man covered in blood and clown makeup was seen riding a scooter near the busy Denver intersection of West Alameda Avenue and Lepan Street. He was subsequently arrested in connection with the parking lot murder. Well, luckily he was caught. I think I would have ditched the clown outfit as soon as I could. The suspect has since been identified by the police as 35-year-old Christian Lee Galzo. First name of Christian. That's not really the Christian way to be doing things. A local death metal vocalist. Online, Galzo goes by the name Christ Galzo or Nurum Bellum. He frequently posts photos and videos of himself wearing makeup and sporting gloves with extended and pointed fingertips, both of which seem to match the description made by the witnesses of the murder. Well, it looks like his deal with death metal band might be coming to an end. Torchy's Tacos was closed at the time of this bizarre altercation. The Austin-based taco business had recently replaced an Arby's, which had gained a local reputation for late-night shootings and murders. Let's go to Arby's. We might see a shooting and stuff. Really put some excitement in our coronavirus days. Oh, man. According to witnesses from across the street, the parking lot was empty, save for the victims who attempted to flee before being pursued by the clown. The victim tried to fight back, witnesses said, but ultimately collapsed in the corner of the parking lot. The cause of death was later identified as a single stab wound to the throat. Police say that Galzo provided a different account of what happened than what was shared by witnesses in his testimony. Galzo claimed the victim originally attacked him rather than the other way around. He added that he was trying to prevent his scooter from being stolen. Yeah, that's a good reason to kill somebody. I can see fighting back your scooter, but I don't know. If the guy has knives at the end of his fingers, I might say, here, you can have it. And that the victim may have fallen on one of Galzo's spiked wrist bracelets. According to the police report, when Galzo was asked if he had stabbed the victim, he said he did not know. Galzo has yet to be charged. She is currently being held for investigation of first-degree murder. Well, I think we can put that guy out of business and his clown days are probably over. Yeah, clowns are really getting a bad reputation. I don't know what's going to happen to change that. Not from Stephen King, that's for sure.
Why so serious?
Well, since we have a clown theme going here, this happened a few years back, but it kind of fits the theme of the podcast episode where an 11-year-old girl brought a knife to school to ward off evil clowns. The sixth grader was arrested and charged with possession of a weapon on school grounds. The 2016 Killer Clown Crisis, I do not remember hearing about this. Kind of seems like a prank by sixth graders at a sleepover that has spiraled out of control. I guess we got it under control now, but but that hasn't stopped people in three different U.S. states from reporting evil clown sightings and putting an entire nation on alert for the big-shoed brutes. I have seen clips on ridiculousness on MTV where someone dressed as a clown uses a mallet and hits like a watermelon that's like attached to what looks like a dead body or whatever, and then starts chasing people. It's pretty frightening, but it's quite the prankster now. Well, back then, the clown fear has reached such extreme heights that an 11-year-old girl in Georgia was arrested after she brought a knife to school for protection against a possible killer clown encounter. It sounds like she could be a zombie apocalypse or two eventually, but maybe that's what she's changed to. According to the Athens Banner-Herald, police interviewed the Bernie Harris Lyons Middle School student after she was caught with the blade, the shank, on school grounds and taken to the principal's office. She said that the reason she had the knife was for protection for her and her family because she heard the stories about clowns jumping out of the woods and attacking children. The police report reads, maybe don't let this girl watch any Stephen King movies. The girl was charged with possession of a weapon on school grounds and handed off to her mother. Some of these killer clown sightings were fake, cops say. Let me check that out. I guess that isn't still around. But they do have a picture of an unhappy clown in this photo. I don't know if I would have gave them clearance to use my photo for this story, but who knows what happened here. Maybe he got paid for it. I don't know. My next news item isn't exactly about a specific clown, but it is about why America is so obsessed with Florida. We asked the Sunshine State expert why Florida is America's class clown. It seems like almost every day there's another impossible, bizarre news story set in a certain Gulf Coast state. The man who claimed he was seduced by a dolphin, and that was in Florida. The guy who vaped his buddy's sea man. Yep, that happened in Florida. And 9 months later, he had a baby girl. No. The patriot who landed a gyrocopter on the Capitol lawn to protest money in politics. I'm sure he was dealt with immediately. A Floridian. Social media accounts like Florida Man are so popular, you could argue that the Sunshine State is known for its oddball citizens as much as it's known for its beaches, theme parks, and orange juice. But why is Florida America's class clown? I wanted to find out. So I asked Craig Pittman, a de facto expert on all things Florida that is weird, a native of the strange place he calls the Punchline State. Pittman's an award-winning Tampa Bay Times reporter. Well, let me do that right. The Tampa Bay Times reporter, who has a new book coming out on July 6th, Oh, Florida, How America's Weirdest State Influences the Rest of the Country. Here's what he had to say. Might be an interesting read. He was asked why Florida is such a hotbed for weird news stories. Craig Pittman, we're the third most populous state with 20 million people and nearly 100 million annual visitors, all crammed into a narrow peninsula where we can ram our cars into each other and yell at each other in a dozen different languages. Also, there's a place with a long tradition of living for today, grabbing for the brass ring, and paying no attention to the possible consequences, which are usually pretty dire. Do you have an all-time favorite? There was one about the guy in Gainesville who was fighting with his girlfriend and grabbed a 3-foot alligator out of the bathtub to swing around as a weapon. Well, hopefully he got bit. Or the one about the wannabe mermaid. Who got in hot water with her Tampa Bay Homeowners Association for wearing her costume in the community pool because it violated the no fins policy. That would have been an interesting thing to see. Or the one about the lady who was driving to a date in the Keys and asked her ex-husband to reach over and take the wheel. Yes, he was going in the car, going along for the ride. I guess while she pulled out a razor and shaved what the newspaper later referred to delicately as her bikini area. It didn't end well. Actually, I think I might have done that story a while back in my multitude of Florida stories. A lot of Florida stories go from silly or weird to straight up criminal. And even awful. What's the most absurd felony you can recall in the state? In the state. Oh, we've got off the charts oddness going on all over. But I think most people would agree that the tale of Carl Tanzler tops a lot of them. Tanzler called himself Count Carl von Kassel. Wow, what a title there. Von Kassel. But he was actually a Key West X-ray technician who in 1930 fell in love with a tuberculosis patient named Maria Elena Milagro de Hoyos. His love transcended death. By which I mean that when she died, he dug up her body and slept with the corpse for 9 years until her sister found out. 9 years. Oh my God. How would you deal with that smell? How would the neighbors? I mean, that's got to be horrific. 9 years? When he was put on trial for grave robbing, he was exonerated, not because he was innocent, but because the statute of limitations had expired. Couldn't lock him up in a mental facility, I guess. Seems like a prime candidate for that. The state produces its share of colorful criminal characters, obviously, who are the standouts? Well, at first, I was going to say Richard Nixon, because the Watergate burglars were from Miami, but the better answer is Ted Bundy. The elusive serial killer, he was caught by a sharp-eyed Pensacola patrolman who noticed Bundy driving a stolen car and then chased him down on foot and tackled him. Bundy later represented himself at trial and actually proposed to a witness while she was on the stand, and she accepted. Why? That woman must have had a future death wish or something. Second most famous is probably Eileen Ornos, dubbed America's first known female serial killer, a prostitute who let lonely men pick her up and then murdered at least seven of them. Her case inspired the movie Monster, which won a star Charlize Theron an Oscar. She continues to attract visitors to the Last Resort, the Port Orange biker bar, where Ornos drank her last beer, and where you can buy t-shirts and bottles of hot sauce bearing her likeness. And there's a lot about drugs, and it almost seems like meth and Florida go hand in hand. Do many great Florida stories begin and end with drugs? Well, only in Florida would you have a crew dump a load of cocaine from their plane, only for one of the bales to land in the middle of a homestead crime watch meeting. Maybe the crime watch meeting turned into a great party after that drop down. Narrowly missing the local police chief's head. Oh, death by cocaine. Oh, jeez. In the cocaine cowboy era of the 1980s, a gang of Miami drug dealers masquerading as cops were busted by a bunch of cops who were masquerading as drug dealers. Unbelievable. Okay, let's talk politics. Oh, boy. That's been getting me in trouble on Facebook, but what do you do? I called Roger Stone, the 80-year-old Harry Potter, and somebody took a little offense at that. But, oh, well. What's the most Florida thing a politician in the state has done? And he says, that was a tough one. We've had so many oddballs in office here. In 1885, we had a U.S. senator from Pensacola who left Washington to stalk a lady in Detroit and deliver speeches to his mirror. In 1890, the mayor of Cedar Key set himself up as an island dictator and had to be ousted by a one-ship invasion by the U.S. Navy. Oh, man. Governor Sidney Katz, in 1917, rode around the state with a pair of guns strapped to his hips because he claimed the Catholic Church had sent hired killers after him. It's amazing what people come up with to be strange. Back when they were pals, Governor Jeb Bush made a great deal about presenting Marco Rubio with a sword he said had belonged to a warrior who never actually existed. But the winner is probably our current Libertarian Party nominee for U.S. Senate in the race to replace Rubio. He's a guy who admits he once sacrificed a goat and drank its blood. Yeah, that's gonna help your chance to be elected. Just meh. And he was asked what the goat's blood tasted like, and he said fame. Seems like it's just not funny stuff either, as our politicians are often reviled nationally. Yes, I revile most of them. In this year's election, who do you think will we be better qualified to steer us out of the corona pandemic? Seems like Trump is just kind of made the mistake of just leaving it up to the governors, and it should have been a nationwide thing and better distribution of supplies. But And we should have started in January and February, mentioning disinfectants and what else stupid about this? Oh, yeah, the less we test, the less cases we will know about. Just my own comment. Enough about that, but see. We just had the worst mass shooting of all time here. Something in the air. I wonder if Las Vegas is the most as far as mass shooting. Well, our tropical weather has attracted everyone from ex-CIA spooks to retired circus freaks. And because we get virtually no snow, everyone can be out getting into machete fights over parking spaces all year long. Machete fights common down there? You'd think the humidity might not. I'd be moving pretty quickly to air conditioning after parking, but in the heat of summer. But we've also got some people carrying concealed weapon permits, more people than any other state. And the gun laws that the NRA writes for our legislature tend to get copied by a lot of other states. Stand Your Ground being just one example. Are there alligators in every damn lake in Florida? Seems like they keep showing up on golf courses and at Disney World. What's the deal with that? If you see a freshwater lake, assume there's at least one gator in it, and that it basically is a prehistoric eating machine. Gators used to be an endangered species, and then they were put under the protection of the Endangered Species Act, which was co-written by a guy named Nat Reed, who grew up in Florida, and they snapped right back, and now they're all over. You see them a lot in the spring, because that's their mating season. And like us humans, they go looking for love in all the wrong places. That's when you see all the stories about them crossing the road, biting at police cars' bumpers, gobbling up the burgers at somebody's picnic, using their tail to knock on some suburban retiree's door, and so forth. Don't put down gators, though. I know of three instances where alligators help police capture escaping criminals by chomping on them or blocking their getaway. The law enforcement gators. Well, then I did a story about the green iguanas. When it got cold, they would stiffen up and fall out of the trees. And it was pretty much open season on them. Excuse me while I take a drink here of my Smirnoff. To continue on the wildlife theme, what's going on with all the bear and python hunting? In Florida, our solution to every problem is to shoot at it. People moved into a bear habitat, so now bears are showing up in the suburbs. Okay, we should shoot them. Did a bunch of pythons take over the Everglades and eat up all the bunnies and raccoons and other little critters? Then we should shoot them. I'm a gun owner and I grew up hunting with my dad, but sometimes I think my fellow Floridians don't think of a gun as a weapon. They think of it as a magic wand, a la Harry Potter. Harry Potter, you can wave around to make something go away. That's probably why we lead the nation in accidental shootings. Speaking of shootings, there are lots of hunting-related crimes. There are enough to form their own subcategory of weird Florida crime. Just last year, for instance, we had four poachers who killed some deer out of season, then loaded up the carcasses in the vehicle and tried to run down another buck. But the car they were driving was a bright yellow Mini Cooper. The only thing better in that story had it been a smart car. So the car got stuck on top of the buck and stalled. The hunters fell asleep in the car. And so in the morning, that's where authorities found them sitting in their fogged up little Mini with all the evidence of what they'd done. I think it was the deer's revenge. A Mini Cooper. I could see if you were driving a Humvee, but a Hummer, but not a Mini Cooper. If someone is visiting Florida for the first time, what would you tell them to expect? The unexpected, of course. That's why we're the most interesting state in the union and a real hot spot for corona at the moment. If you want to visit someplace boring, oh man, they're knocking Wyoming or Idaho. If you want to see a woman with blonde dreadlocks, climb a banyan tree and play the accordion while singing John Denver songs just because she likes doing that. Well, then come down to Florida. But stay away from post offices. In 2012, so many Floridians crashed their cars into post offices that the U.S. Postal Service ran ads asking people to please stop. A little angry at waiting in lines, are we? To run your car into post. Oh, my God. That's some weird stuff. And I'm sure we'll have more weird stuff from the Sunshine State. Maybe just have a glass of orange juice and don't do anything weird.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Now I think it is time to warp drive this podcast to the interwebs. You can check out my Facebook page. You can tweet my Twitters at Randy Podcaster. You can email me a comment at randyms12@gmail.com. Question or concern about this show? Tell me you like it, dislike it, hate it, whatever. But if it is good, and say an under 10-minute read, I might read it over the air. But as always, have a pleasant day today and a happy ending tonight. We'll be right back.